Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I want the ball. I want the ball.
I hope he doesn't
kill somebody.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water bag. It's a party.
Welcome back into another excellent, exciting, spectacular edition of the 11 Personnel Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Nick Roush. The other host, one Adam Luckett. Luckett, this is weird. We've never done a podcast after a loss. But there's got to be a first time for everything, I suppose.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is the first time for that. Tough game, man.
Man, you know what? Even though Kentucky lost, I think we learned a valuable lesson on Saturday. And that's that football is such a great game, no matter how much you kick somebody's ass for three quarters, margin of error is very slim. It still comes down to a couple plays.
Momentum. Momentum's a big thing, especially in a game like that with all those emotions, with all that hype that went into it. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing changed on the fourth and one, the first play of the fourth quarter.
So
after Kentucky dominated the third quarter,
mm-hmm.
really kind of left points on the board when you consider the red zone interception and then that last drive. So Kentucky,
you had some fun stats.
Blows their scoring opportunities. Florida doesn't when they get their opportunities in the fourth quarter, and that's really kind of the ball game.
Yeah, it really was. And it was one of those things where a lot of things had to go wrong for Kentucky to lose when they had so much momentum. And the big point of emphasis, I think, short yardage and – That was an emphasis in practice this week. I like Eddie Grand's term that he used. He was like, you can't go stripe on somebody if you're a running back. You got a half man, near shoulder, near leg, and I loved it because he was
not on David Reese.
He was just giving all of the like coach terms that like I just it gets the hamster wheels turning in my head, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going. He's talking about snot bubbles and all this kind of stuff, but that I think we found it's been a little bit of everybody's problem so far. Sometimes it's the line messing up, which you broke down inside the play. It was the line in that case. But also, the running backs haven't been consistent when it comes to breaking tackles.
No. And sometimes you're going to have to make a play. You got to make something out of nothing. That's mm-hmm. something Benny Snell did a lot.
Yeah.
That's something I talked about before the season. Could A.J. Rose, if the play stuff, can he find a way to fall forward and get 2 yards when you need to get 2 yards to stay mm-hmm. ahead of the chains? In the short yardage, could they find the guy to get them forward to
right.
move the ball?
Well, they're talking about Chris Rodriguez. Yeah. He's playing this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So
he had his little two-game punishment for the fumbles, and now he's going to be back in action.
Yeah, which seemed maybe a bit harsh. I think some of it was they're trying to tighten up the rotation. Grant's big on feeding the hot hand. So maybe that was kind of why they pulled back on Rodriguez more.
Well, I think a lot of it too, Smoke was just playing gangbusters low. Coming out. So you wanted to get him as many carries as possible. And then I think for Rose, it was kind of the seniority thing, kind of the guy waited his turn.
Right,
he
right.
Choke glimpses. Let's give him as many chances as possible. But
didn't work.
Florida. He had one, 15-yard run there in the first drive of the third quarter, two mm-hmm. plays before Sawyer Smith's interception.
Yes, very good run. And one of two or three runs that Florida made a great play in the open field mm-hmm. and the Kentucky running back lost. Because Smoke mm-hmm. had another one. They're both going to the house if Florida doesn't make the play.
They're a really good defense.
Yeah.
The second best defense Kentucky will play all season.
Yes.
Next to Georgia.
not Mississippi State this week.
Right.
Yeah.
So outside that carry, Rose had 13 carries for like 26, 25 yards. It's 2 yards pop.
It's not good.
You can't do, especially in this offense, you cannot do that because, like we heard Grant talk about, you can't get behind the chains. They got behind the chains and made plays all game.
Yeah. So we were Smith really on third down, I think, surprised both of us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that was one of my biggest worries going into the game. Could Smith win on third down? Could he move the chains? And he did for the most part.
So aside from three plays, Sawyer Smith, how would you grade his performance besides those three plays?
Just besides the turnovers?
Yes. I mean,
that's as good as you could, I think you could ask for.
Yeah, but you can't.
You couldn't ask for any, like, that overly impressive if you take out the ball security issues.
But you can't drop a snap, especially after your defense just gave you a gift. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Felipe Franks just gave you a gift. And you can't, you cannot turn it over in the red zone.
Yeah.
That's
the fumble. Was number one. You just cannot do that. You cannot start a game like that. You can't have a big play on defense and come out and fumble on a third and one.
And to his credit, like the offense, I was worried that the offense was just going to just be turning tires in the mud forever. And he finds Ahmad Wagner on 3rd and 21. That was a hell of a play, hell of
right.
a throw, hell
really
of a catch.
Really got him going. Got some the offensive confidence.
He was right in the soft spot of the zone. It was just that was just a pretty play.
And it's a throw where he had to put the right amount of air under it, but at the same time, not throw it out of bounds.
Exactly
because of so many defenders were there. I mean, it was a great throw, and it kind of got him rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was good to see the tight ends get involved. You had Rigg, five catches, Keaton Upshaw.
Ooh, we even got a Schlegel sighting.
Even got a Schlegel sighting. They went empty in 13 personnel, which was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Which, so for, while we're going to get into the nitty gritty, we might as well. I mean, after all, this is 11 personnel. So Kentucky went with a big set. They were like, damn it, we're going to run the ball. We're going to run it hard. We're going to get in 13 personnel. And while they got a first down, they were like, screw it. Let's just keep this train rolling. And they split five wide with three tight ends. One of which, the guy we mentioned, Drew Schlegel, is basically a fullback.
Right.
Like, his job is H-back, but it's basically a fullback.
Mm-hmm.
And he splits out as the farthest wide receiver. He goes wide. And then just runs a hitch and gets, like, an eight-yard completion.
Right. It was no. awesome.
Like, okay, all right, I guess we can give these guys a break now. That was a nice first down.
Right. It was, I think Eddie Grand caught a great game.
He really did.
For three quarters.
This screen game was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Florida's pass rush, they're so arrogant, they thought that they got in free every single time.
The play before the Sawyer Smith red zone INT, they had a tight end middle screen, which was very close to busting. I think there was one guy there. If he makes that guy miss, he would have got a first down, might have gotten the end zone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought Eddie Grand did
the
a good job.
The throwback to Lynn Bowden, that was the other Sawyer throw he wishes he had back because.
Well, I think there might have been something with the wrist there. They kind of denied it, but I didn't notice it at the game. But going back and watch it, you could see he was holding that and looking at it for a lot of the second half.
Which, if you're hesitant to really flick your wrist and get it all the way down, they're going to sail on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that ball sailed on him. That throwback, though. Beautiful play. Bowden would have gotten 70 yards on that play alone, maybe.
Right.
Dude, I mean, there was nothing but green grass.
I think he was around the Florida's 40, and he would have probably at worst gotten inside the red zone.
At worst. Oh, man. A couple plays that got away.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'll tell you what.
Okay, Negrosh, tell me what.
In the stadium, that fourth quarter was awful. Because I looked at my wife right after – Rose got stuffed. I said, that might have just lost them the game. And then, of course, people around me are looking at me like I'm nuts. They're up 11 with, you know.
Yeah. Quarter play. Just get a stop.
But I just knew, like, that flipped the momentum, and Kentucky just never got it back after that, especially when Trask comes in and completes three passes in a row. It's just like, oh, God, they're going to need something, like a turnover, a big play, something big to happen.
Well, they got a
they
big
never
play.
Got it.
No, they did, but it was targeting.
Right. Well, I mean, that's not the thing we can get into.
Yeah, we've talked to that ad nauseum. We can ignore targeting for now.
But one thing I want to get to is I felt better after I watched the tape at home.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Kentucky played really well, and there was a lot. Like, Florida needed four or five things to absolutely go their way in the fourth quarter to win that game, and they just got the bounces, sometimes that happens.
Man, they got the bounces. Even
the jet sweep at the end, if Kentucky stops them there, they get the ball back with like 50 seconds left. We might have gotten a chance to see Bolden return a punt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just need – you want they would just need three first downs to get back into field goal range. So they might have even got another chance at that. But Florida just – I think they just – everything that needed to happen, happened for them. The targeting call.
Mm-hmm.
The
smoke being a yard short, chance missing the field goal. Mm-hmm.
The stunt they run on fourth and short coming out of the fourth quarter.
That was a perfectly executed mm-hmm. stunt.
So you have to give them credit. They made the plays they had to make to win the game. And Kentucky helped them in that process. But if Florida is a top 10 team, I don't think they are, but I think they're a top 15, top 20 team.
Yeah.
That's a pretty impressive performance, Kentucky. They stood toe-to-toe with them and outplayed mm-hmm. them for most of the football game.
Yes.
So there's things to build off from that game.
Right.
So, and it's a long season. It sucks to keep losing to that team like that.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it more than as much as anybody.
I will say, though, the attitude –
big picture, I think there's some good things to build off of that performance.
The attitude following the loss is different than previously, mostly because you've gotten that one out of the way. So I think there's more anger around the team, like it was one of those games that you wanted to go out and play 2 days later just to get it out of your system. And I think that's going to really benefit them this weekend, especially when you got to deal with those damn cowbells down in Starkville. So I think it's going to work to their advantage. And there was a couple things I wanted to hit on before we move on that you brought up. And that's that this was a Mark Stoops, like this is the formula for Mark Stoops to win. Time of possession. Great run defense.
Right.
Well, Michael Piron had 1.9 yards a carry. That's preseason
take
second
out the
team
jet,
all season.
Take out the jet sweep. They had like 68 yards rushing. Yeah. So just absolutely dominated. That's another point I made before the game. I didn't know if Kentucky's defensive line could really just take the running game out of it.
And they did.
And they did.
They did great.
Impressive.
Now, I was a little disappointed in how Kentucky ran the ball. I think some of it you just got to give David Reese credit for being a freak. And
yeah, he made some All-American plays in run defense.
He had 16 tackles.
Did he really?
Yeah. Crazy. But it's one of those things where you could definitely tell there was a strength versus strength kind of matchup going on there. And I also thought explosive plays.
Yep.
It's good to have those. It's good. It's also good to have a fade.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but even the explosive plays, we've been seeing Kentucky get those 30-yard chunks.
Mm-hmm.
And they really Grantham kind of took that away on Saturday, which I think is what hurt the offense a little bit because they had to put long, sustained drives together. And Florida's a good enough defense where it becomes a number game after a while that they, if you give them enough plays, they're eventually going to get a stop.
How awesome is it that Merle's favorite toy is a football?
Only during football season. Once December, January hits, he puts it away.
And for basketball?
Then he only gets it out. He gets it out about August.
He can smell football in the air, Merle mm-hmm. can. That's a good boy right there. He deserves a couple of boobs. But I think what is important, though, and we don't need to go into it anymore, though, there's plenty to build off of this loss, especially from a quarterback's perspective. Like, that was a backup quarterback. He had three turnovers.
A Sunbelt grad transfer.
Yeah, who was, I think, I forgot this, it was like 12 of 13 to start or something.
He was 10 of 10.
Yeah.
Into the second quarter.
Pretty crazy. So now he goes, he's playing in SEC country, got Mississippi State this weekend. And Mr. Luckett, Mississippi State, they just came off of a pretty bad loss.
Yeah. It's.
I mean,
they're not very happy with Joe Moorhead right now.
Which they shouldn't be. But you know what? If I don't know what you would expect after last year.
Like, well, just the Mullen era in general.
Oh, they don't know how – they're not going to know how to handle themselves because that's the best it's ever going to get down
right
there.
Mullen had them in the national title conversation in 2014. Dak Prescott threw the ball all over the field in 2015. In 2017, they were in the top 20 most of the season. And then last year, they had that roster teed up to really go finish in the top 10, win 10, 11 games, and maybe be Alabama's stiffest competition in the West. Turns out the defense played to that, but the offense
stunk
it up last year.
And that was Moorhead. That was a big reason why they
stunk
hired
it up
too.
Against good teams, against average teams, below average teams. They housed, but when they placed good defenses last year, they really couldn't do anything.
Well, Kentucky only had 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was a nice slobber knocker last year.
LSU they had 3 points. Alabama they had 0 points.
And that offense, Now they're breaking in a new quarterbacks, which we'll get to. They do have Colin Hill back. Now,
stud.
Is he the best running back Kentucky will face this year? Or are you giving DeAndre Swift the number?
He's two. DeAndre Swift one.
Okay. Because as of right now, Colin Hill is leading the SEC in rushing yards. He's got 431 through three games. He's third in the FBS overall. Dude's a bruiser. He's a big hunk of meat that's just going to bowl through you in the middle of the defense. But the good news is as Mark Stoops would like to say, the strength of our team is the strength.
Mm-hmm.
But quite literally, I think he means it. Like when I was asked, I was like, my one kind of sly question at the end of the press conference was like, is your four down pass rush good enough? And he was pretty blunt. He was like, you know, we're really good on the up front because we're strong, but that also has its drawbacks. Right. And I think trying to get a natural four-man pass rush, that's hard to do. When
that's
Phil
why you're
Hoskins,
seeing, well, you're seeing Jordan Wright get more snaps to help with that.
And that's why when Phil Hoskins is hurt in pregame, it hurts you. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Wright, yes, he's done well. He needs to quit making stupid-ass penalties.
Yeah, he had finish when he gets to the quarterback.
Yeah, he jumped off sides on a third down, and then he had another 15-yarder on a third down. And I can't recall what it was. Might have been like illegal hands to the face or roughing the quarterback.
Hit a roughing the quarterback.
Yeah, and that was a – because I had the tweet. Two third downs, two 20-yard penalties, or, you know, 20-yard penalties worth on Jordan Wright. But that's what Kentucky needs a little bit twitchier on that defensive line. But the good news is I don't think that's a big worry in this game, Luckett, because your one and only key to victory is don't let Mississippi State run the rock against you.
Right. If they can go in there and hold Colin Hill under 100 yards, he's gotten 100 yards in each game so far this season.
Yes.
If that run defense is as good as we think it was the last 2 weeks, where they've really shut down a bad Eastern Michigan running attack,
right?
Shut down a good,
talented
running back of Florida, but a offensive line that has a lot of work to get done in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
If they can go in there and shut down that running game, shut down Hill, not shutting down completely, he's going to get some yards, but keep him in check, make him work for his yards. Maybe goal is to make. Keep him under 100. If they can go and do that, they have a great shot to win this game because their passing game is a work in progress right now. Their receivers are still not great. Osiris Mitchell is a good one. He's got NFL potential, but after that, they've got a lot of stuff that's just not great right now.
And that Osiris guy is their deep threat. Because that's one thing, if Tommy Stevens can play, he's good at hitting a deep ball.
Mm-hmm. Like he hit a deep post last week.
Yeah.
Mitchell was a great throw.
It was pretty. It was right before I took a little pregame snooze. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I guess Stevens not so bad after all. And then he gets hurt. Well, was hurt, is hurt. Kind of a – I think if you were to use one word to describe all three of Mississippi State's quarterbacks, it would be hurt. Upper body injuries too. That's what I like. Joe Moorhead, he's not going to get specific.
Well, I don't – you want to hear a hot take?
Oh, that Keaton Thompson isn't hurt?
I don't think Keaton Thompson's hurt.
Yeah. Oh. He said it happened in camp.
I think under the table, Tommy Stevens won the job.
Uh-huh.
Keaton Thompson puts his name in the portal right away.
Right.
A week or so passes, his name is out of the portal, but he doesn't talk to the media. They say he's going to be on the team. And then the depth chart comes out for the first game, and he's not on there. And Moorhead's saying he's got some type of injury. I think they had an agreement where come here, run the scout team, red shirt, and then you can grad transfer once you graduate.
I mean, that would make most sense for his part.
And I think they're just saying that he hasn't, but I'm not buying that he is hurt.
Well, you can buy that Stevens is hurt. I mean, they could really use him, even if it is just a red shirt role, because Stevens messes up his shoulder against Southern Miss, pulled halfway through the game. They got to throw in Will Schrader, who, as you
Garrett Schrader.
Garrett Schrader, excuse me. He looks like a Will, just the beard. I want to put him in West Virginia. But Mississippi State, it's fine. You know, and that beard can pass in Starkville, too. It's very it's neckish, but it's not really – like, it just covers his entire neck.
Pretty good for an 18-year-old.
Yeah, what a jerk. Just really showboating for those who just grow very subpar beards like myself. They put in Schrader. You know, whatever. His stats last week, not very good.
He's the most inaccurate SEC passer this season.
Not very good.
He was a guy, four-star prospect, top 200-ish. But
dual threat.
He needed to come in redshirt.
Yeah.
They're playing him way too early. He just not need to be playing right now.
He's got guts. I'll give him that.
But he can. But if he does play, he's going to run the ball a lot. He ran the ball a lot against K-State last week. We put that post on KSR, you did, earlier this week about him getting put in the helicopter.
Yep. That's pretty much all that – I mean, that will earn the respect of many. But he was 4 of 12.
Mm-hmm. Morehead, in Morehead scheme, it's RPO, RPO, RPO. Everything they do almost is an RPO. So with Stevens – the thing they missed last year was just the passing game, and he's given that to them when healthy, but he's been taking a lot of sacks. He's not giving you much of that run element, which you still need, because at Penn State Trace McSorley still ran it a lot for Morehead, and then Trader's just not there in the passing game yet. So and now with Stevens hurt, you have him with a bum shoulder. Mm-hmm. We don't know how accurate it was going to be. Last week he played for a little bit, and then it's tightened up at halftime.
Yeah.
So we really don't know how bad that shoulder is, so we'll see.
It's his throwing shoulder. Mm-hmm. Which.
So that means I don't think they're going to run him very much.
Mm-hmm. They don't want to put him in harm's way.
And he's taken a lot of sacks this year. Mississippi State has given up the most sacks in the SEC.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think their sack rate's like 8.5%, which it would have been in the hundreds last season.
Let's see how many sacks they've allowed.
I think it's 7.
It is 7. Good call. And that's against Kansas State, Southern Miss, and I don't know who else. Somebody not good. Mm-hmm. Monroe, Louisiana Lafayette.
Right. Yeah. So, and then you go on the other side of the ball. Their defensive line has 1 sack through 3 games.
No. They're not the Montez Sweat. Yeah. Montez Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons ain't walking through that door.
They've only got a handful of tackles for loss. Like, I think their defensive line has 5 tackles of loss through 3 games.
You know who leads their team in tackles for loss?
Brian Cole.
The former Michigan guy who was rumored for a while to be transferred to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
He has 5.5, and their defensive line total only has 5. That's not good.
Right.
But Brian Cole, he
leads them in
good.
Sacks.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
But Kentucky could use him at nickel right about now.
Yes. That would be nice to have under Mike Edwards part deux. Mm-hmm. That was actually Eddie Grand. That was his comp.
Yeah.
He said, you got to know where he's at all times.
He's really good. But Kentucky, on both sides of the ball, line of scrimmage, they have an advantage going into this game. The offensive line should, on paper, they should handle this defensive line group. Now, this defensive line group, all these guys were at one time, most of them were at former 4-star prospects, blue chips. They're just not playing to that level for whatever reason. And that's part of the reason these fans are upset with Morehead right now, because Mississippi State's always been a line of scrimmage program. They've always had dudes on the line. They've always been physical. And now they're kind of getting out tough, I guess you would say, up front.
Oh, man, and there's nothing that'll get into the crawl quite like saying, you're getting out tough, Mississippi State.
Yeah, and so that, you know, they just feel like they're taking a step backwards in that regard. And Kentucky comes in with better lines of scrimmage on both sides, and that's advantage they are. An advantage they're going to have to take advantage of Saturday.
Okay, so I'm agreeing with you. Something just crossed my mind, though, that I noticed today. Why is Mississippi State projected to win an S&P Plus by 14? Why is it an 8.5-point spread?
Because S&P Plus, the first 4 weeks, they still use the predictions from the preseason. So in that predictions, it's returning production. It's recruiting rankings. It's 5-year history, and it's some other stuff. So those haven't gotten taken out
phased
yet.
Phased out. Yeah.
So they're still. So when you look at Mississippi State's roster, like on defense, they got a lot of 4-stars.
Especially with their JUCO, like they get the best JUCO guys.
Offensively, they return most of their offensive line, all their receivers, Kylin Hill.
Yes, very good.
So that's why. The computers love them, but so far this season, they haven't played to what they thought they were going to be.
In Vegas, you can understandably give Mississippi State some points for home field advantage. I think you also give them some points for Kentucky hasn't won there since 2008, which is kind of ridiculous.
Right.
The last time I was there, actually, that was when Vince Mero went nuts.
Mm-hmm, that was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
2017.
Yeah.
The last two times they played there, they've really got rocked.
And you know what?
Especially in the second half.
You know what they had in common? I was there. I'm not going. So, Wildcats, feel free to win without me down there. Thoughts and prayers to Jack Pilgrim, who's got to deal with that just crap hole.
He'll be all right.
You know what? The thing that stinks about it is that Davis Wade is a very nice stadium. Mm-hmm. It's not too big. They've got an open end zone.
The Junction.
The Junction.
That's like their big tailgate area. It's where the team walks through in the end zone.
Yeah, it's very cool. It really is. Like they have a nice game day setup. And then they start ringing those stupid bells, and you just get a headache. Like, it's, let me pop in some Excedrin and just curve it off at the pass. You know what? They even give out ice cream in the press box at halftime. And if there's one thing
Southern
that makes,
hospitality.
If there's one thing that makes a press box great, it's halftime ice cream. And Kentucky used to do that, mm-hmm. and then we get a – that was at Commonwealth Stadium, and then, ooh, we got to get a Kroger Field. Kroger, where the hell's your ice cream? We want ice cream, damn it. Give us our ice cream.
We got to do to get some ice cream. They give it in Rupp. Why can't we get it in Kroger Field?
Exactly. We need it at Kroger Field. But I digress. I think that's something that they have to knock off their shoulders. But the good thing is like, I think the kind of needing to knock things off, it doesn't feel...
They're due. Since the last win at Mississippi State, they've won at Auburn. They've won at Georgia. They've won at Florida. God. They've won at South Carolina multiple times.
That's wild.
So they've won a lot of places. It's time. They need to – this is a game they need to – they can't have a streak like this where they're not winning at Mississippi State in a decade. So it's they're due, and it's time. I like their chances to go in there and pick up a win. But last week we talked about Grand versus Grantham.
Mm-hmm.
There's another defensive coordinator.
Ooh, let's see
that Eddie Grant's had a lot of success against. Okay. That's Bob Shoop.
Give us the lowdown on Bob. Like, what is a Bob Shoop defense? We know that – Todd Grantham is a mad 10-year-old in Madden who's just picking blitz every play. So what is Bob Shoop?
Bob Shoop's defense is very disciplined, very fundamentally sound. They don't make mistakes. They try to keep everything in front. They have good blitz packages. So he was a coordinator for James Franklin at Vanderbilt for those first 3 years and followed him to Penn State for a couple years. He had a top 15 per SP plus defense at Vanderbilt, so that's saying a lot. He went from Penn State, then he went to Tennessee. At Tennessee, he got on the Butch Jones train, and things kind of collapsed on him. He
became a champion of life.
Mm-hmm. So he had two kind of subpar defenses there, and then last year he had all that talent last year, and he had maybe the best defense in the country.
No, Kentucky.
But, I mean.
Yeah. They only gave up numbers.
They gave up, I think, 10 touchdowns on the year.
Four of them were against
UK. Yeah.
No, Benny Snell. Benny Snell was like, oh, right. I want touchdowns. Give me touchdowns.
Right. But so he's done all this. He's had four of his units finish top 20 in defense per SP. So, and like, that's like 8 years of being a coordinator. So he's got a long track record of success. But in three meetings against Grand, two at Tennessee, one at Kentucky. Kentucky's putting up 31 points per game, 6.6 yards per play. And they've done all this with never passing for more than 200 yards in a game. They have thrashed Shoop's defenses on the ground for whatever reason. We saw that 443-yard rushing day at Tennessee in 2016.
Oh, yeah, that was
where
fun.
Kentucky would have won, but Josh Dobbs just went nuts.
Yeah. Hell, even Saheem King had 90 yards rushing.
2017, Kentucky had four turnovers. If they don't have four turnovers, they beat Tennessee probably by three scores.
Kentucky had four turnovers and one.
Yeah. And Tennessee had zero.
Yeah.
So they were plus four and lost a game. Benny Snell had a big game.
I would love to, like, I'm sure we posted at the time that it was some, like, one of those ESPN stats and info thing. Like, times that a team is minus four in turnover margin and one. A conference game against a Power 5 opponent.
Yeah, it didn't happen often.
Yeah.
And Kentucky, in these three games, they're running, averaging 7 yards per carry against Shoop's defense.
So here's the – Kentucky's been able to run the ball well, but here's the difference. Is Earl Thompson.
Two R's.
Rhymes with Merle. Earl Thompson is a beast. Very good at stuffing the run. And they also have a guy by the name of – this is almost as good as Earl. It's Jaquarius Landrews.
Mm-hmm. So leads him in tackle, strong safety, number 11.
You need to just, like, I would just call him Jaquarius. It's just one name. Get rid of Landrews, just Jaquarius. That's badass enough as it is. And then Leah Lewis, their middle linebacker. Those three guys are all in the top 9 in the SEC in tackles.
Right.
They do a lot of work for him.
Well, they're giving up a lot of yards. With a lot of yards come a lot of plays. A lot of plays come a lot of tackles.
Okay.
That's why when you look at, they're not making, they don't have many tackles for loss. So that's what it tells you.
They're getting downfield and the safety's having to cover up a lot of errors. But I don't think this Kentucky, granted, Florida very good. I think Kentucky can still have some explosive plays, but I really do think that Kentucky's strength this year will ultimately end up being in the passing game. Just from a maybe it's because of their balance that it opens up more things, but Ahmad Wagner right now is unstoppable. If you single him up, he's going to be open.
Now, Cameron Dantzler is one of the best corners in the SEC, junior. He missed last game against K-State, but he should be back on Saturday. So that's going to help them. But I like Ahmad Wagner against anybody they have. I like Lynn Bowden against anybody they have. So I think Kentucky should be able to pass the ball, but they've never really passed it with Grant against Shoup. So that's something we're going to have to see. But up front, they should give Sawyer Smith all day to throw. And that should be a thing. But I think you look at this history, Kentucky's really run the ball well on them.
That's probably why he's like, all right, let's get Chris Rodriguez in. Yeah, I mean, a bowling ball over some dudes.
And I think you're going to see Rodriguez, Smoke, and Rose all get carries on Saturday. Rose is due for a big run.
Yeah.
I mean, he's due to get one.
Yeah. They were very close. I mean, the close calls were driving me absolutely insane because it was just like, come on, get.
And then I think Smoke is going to have a chance to have – I think they're all going to have – all the backs are going to have chances to have some big plays on Saturday. Something to keep an eye on, though.
Mm-hmm.
Before the season, Mississippi State – or the NCAA came out and said Mississippi State had 7 players that pretty much had a tutor take a test for them.
The Missouri cause.
Yeah. And so those players were suspended 7 games this year.
Yeah.
However, Mississippi State doesn't have to tell you who the players that were suspended or doesn't have to tell you when they're suspending them.
Right. So they could pull them out of the bullpen.
Right.
In theory.
Their best defensive tackle, Lee Autry, missed the first 3 games. Their starting will linebacker, Willie Gay Jr., has missed the first 3 games. In a must-win spot, maybe Moorhead says, we need to get going now.
Pull them out.
So that's something we're going to have to keep an eye on. We won't know until the game, really.
Right.
So that's something to keep an eye on. But even with those guys, I think Kentucky, their big advantage on offense here is State's not very good on third downs.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky's been one of the best third down offenses, especially the last 2 games. They've been outstanding. So winning on third down and Sawyer Smith protecting the football. Miss State is +5 already in turnover margin.
They're
forcing a lot of turnovers. They're giving up yards, giving up points, but they're forcing turnovers.
And
you have to protect the football on the road. You cannot have those Sawyer Smith interceptions, especially on drives where you're going to score points.
Yes. Kentucky, that's probably been the – if you have one giant complaint of anything that Kentucky's done this year, it's that they have left
it's like
so many points
2016 all over again when they were turning the ball over left and right.
Can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
The ball is the team. The team is the ball.
Ball security is job security.
There we go. The one thing that I do like that our friend Brian, the intern, pointed out, Stoops' teams, even though they haven't been great and they haven't covered, after close Florida losses, they win. They're 3-0. I think this one certainly has a different aspect to it, a different element, because it's not the same angst that's hanging over the program. Like, man, when I talked to Drake Jackson yesterday, like, he was kind of, like, mad that we were, like, he had that, and it wasn't, like, I'm mad that I have to talk to the media. It was the, like, I'm ready to clean somebody's cock.
Right.
Because I think
he's been hard on himself for.
Oh, in the offensive line.
That play.
They were so good for so much of the game. You take away Deering and Kennard just having a missed call where he thinks he's not got the edge guy. You take away that, you know, 4th and 1, they were damn near perfect. The defensive line that had created 15 sacks and 26 tackles for loss, I think 3 tackles for loss and 1 sack, that was it. They were almost perfect, and they let that almost cost them.
Right.
It really did. So I think you're going to see a very angry Kentucky team. The key is, I think, keeping the foot on the gas, but still applying pressure in the running game. Because I know that's a big criticism, especially of Eddie Grant and Mark Stoops, of not keeping the foot on the gas.
That comes to the head coach. How does he balance that? Because we've seen them get leads. They do this every time they get leads. We saw it in the Citrus Bowl. They got a big lead.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of take the air out of the balloon and almost never get it back. At Florida last year, they kind of did the same thing. They had a chance to really bury them. They couldn't do it. And then against Florida this year. So we've seen it multiple times. Now they've won the 2 of those games they won, and then this Florida one, it costed them. So they're going to have to figure out that nice balance. But people weren't complaining when that Citrus Bowl when they won it like that.
Yeah.
People were happy to win. But at the same time, he doesn't have Benny Snell anymore where you get the ball back with whatever, 4 minutes left, and you have to eat clock. You can just give it to him. You know he's going to get you some first downs. They don't really have that this year.
That happened on the final drive. Like it started with 4 minutes. It was like, all right, let's see what they do without Benny Snell. And what did they do? They completed first down passes.
Two back shoulder fades. Amal Wagner makes a great competitive catch. Lynn Bolden makes a great catch.
They went about the perfect way because when you complete the pass, the second down, you get 5 yards and you move the sticks. You do it all over again. And then they got to a 35-yard field goal and like, okay, let's burn up a minute and a half so our secondary doesn't get wasted, you know, away. Mm-hmm. And they're a yard shy of
– it's a fine line.
They're a yard shy of taking that clock down to zero and kicking a 25-yard.
Well, I mean, Florida had three timeouts, but they're a yard shy of where – it's getting to the point where it would have been like a minute left when Florida got the ball with no timeouts.
It was 50 when they got it back.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. So they were at a minute, and I think they had already burned two timeouts.
I guess I'm saying if they get the I guess you're right.
Well, and what they would have done too, I'm pretty confident that they would have taken a shot to the end zone with Wagner if they got their first down.
Yeah.
Like, first down, why not? Let's go for one right here. Right. See if we get it.
Right.
But I think to your point. I think Stoops is getting better, but there's still an element of like, we have to not put the ball in the other team's hands because Josh Allen isn't going to go out there and put the dagger in the game. He did it at the Citrus Bowl. He did it against Vanderbilt. He did it against Florida. When Kublik was on our show, you were the warm-up act. When he was on our radio show,
yeah.
He subtly dropped in there. Like, I don't know if I've seen somebody close out more games than Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Benny Snell got a lot of credit for it, but Josh had a knack for making plays. Mississippi State, he had so many close calls against Nick Fitzgerald and finally brought his big ass down, and that was their last hope. And then I think Kentucky scores. They go up 14, and then Ty Asian picks off a pass. Benny Snell scores the next play. Josh was the catalyst to all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Benny got a lot of the praise. And you're not going to be able to find that, but you do need to have a defense that can come and make plays. And unfortunately, I think Yusuf Corker's one of those guys.
Right. It was him first series of the game, or second series of the game. And then just the injuries they had in defense, that their secondary was really shuffling.
Yeah.
Those were Florida receivers we talked about how good they were. And they really feasted.
They got to pick on a third free safety. Like, and it's Dan Mullen. He's no idiot. He knows how to get his guys in the ball in the right spot. Mm-hmm. So, it's a tough situation.
Another stat to keep in mind for this weekend.
Okay.
Under Mark Stoops, Kentucky is 5-1 against the spread in SEC road openers. They've won 3 of the last 4. The only loss was the game after Southern Miss loss down in Florida.
Yeah, it was bad.
So, forget about that one.
So, throw that at one, and they're undefeated.
But Joe Moorhead, he's kind of, like we talked about earlier, he's kind of this front runner where when he plays bad teams, they crush him.
Mm-hmm.
When they play good teams, they don't. As a double-digit favorite, 7-0 straight up, 6-1 against the spread. Average final score, Mississippi State, 46.7. Opponent, 10.1. As a single-digit favorite, he's 2-4 straight up and 2-4 against the spread.
Ooh.
Average final score, Mississippi State, 19.7. Opponent, 20.3. So, they're in a spot where they, in his few games he's been there, they haven't been good in this type of spot. And Kentucky's in a spot where recent history tells us that they're really good in this spot. So I think you combine all of that, the quarterback issues with Mississippi State. I think if Kentucky goes down there, takes care of the football on offense, I think they're going to be in really, really good shape. And then special teams-wise, Mississippi State's got a bad special teams unit.
Really?
Lynn Bolden's going to get chances to return kicks. He's going to get chances to return punts. Max Duffy.
Best punter in America.
So I think
the numbers say so. 51.2 yards.
Kansas State had a kickoff return touchdown, gained 44 yards on punt returns. That was a big part of their
That kickoff return was right when Mississippi State tied the game, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge. Was that their last touchdown, or did they get one more after that?
They got one more after that. Okay.
But still, though, like Mississippi State's calling. Mm-hmm. I think Schrader had just came in, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And they give up a kickoff return
and
touchdown.
And K-State's tight end had a big game against Mississippi State. Ooh, so that can mean good things for Rigg and Upshaw.
What I do... I think there's a motive. Moorhead's desperation can help and hurt them.
Right.
He could either it could either help them make a couple big plays, or it could be Will Muschamp kind of implosion.
If he doesn't have a quarterback and maybe he's being a little too over-aggressive, that could mean you know, some turnovers are coming or some more sacks are coming. And I want to say this pass rush, it's getting close, man. Like, it is almost there. It is so close. Like, sacks right now, I think Kentucky ranks like 7th or 8th in the SEC. They're close, man. They're close, man. I'm telling you, they're so close. Jordan Wright is getting better every game.
They've got
people
7.
People aren't really talking about it, but three I think teams he's getting better every game.
Yeah, yeah. Jordan, he is.
Calvin Taylor is getting there, consistently getting there. He's just not getting the sack.
Ooh, he has the
TJ
most
Carter's been there.
Third most quarterback hurries by an interior defensive lineman in America.
It's getting there, man. And then I think Xavier Peters is going to slowly get in there eventually.
Just
collapsing pockets left and right.
God.
It's getting there.
So
sacks are going to come. And this week I think you're going to see them get a handful.
Sorry that was loud. Folks who are listening, I got really excited. Because there's nothing that's more delicious than a good, hearty sack lunch. Mm-hmm.
And you saw Cordell Looney.
Man, he had a great game. And he had maybe –
he's going to need to have one this week too because TJ Carter's out the first half.
He had like three different plays where it was just like – Just get there a little bit quicker.
Yeah, he Come missed on, the buddy. Tackle for loss. He had a guy in the backfield.
Oh, I know.
It.
Yeah. And we don't know what Hoskins is questionable, which means probably out. Yeah,
if you're asking me my biggest concern, it's that first half without Carter. And I'm assuming Hoskins isn't playing.
Yeah.
So then you're looking at Cordell Looney playing a lot of snaps.
Abule.
So Abule getting in there. So you need them to play. You need
it's
going to
be hot,
without
too.
Depth. Yeah.
Now – I think it's a little ridiculous that they're like how much like Mississippi State had to issue a press release like it's going to be 85 degrees, but it's different. It's Mississippi heat, and it's the heat of the day. It's at 3 o'clock Central Time.
Right, the hottest time of the year.
Yeah, so
time of the day. Excuse me.
You get maybe second half a little bit of a reprieve, but not the best. So you're going to be running a lot of defensive linemen in and out. And that's where you got to have guys like Abule be stout in the run defense. And I don't know, maybe we get a Xavier Peters signing.
Maybe.
It'd be nice to see him out there. I was hoping to at least see him in a couple spot situations.
Well, the Florida game last week, Kentucky only forced one punt. There wasn't a lot of obvious passing situations either.
True, true.
So
we'll hey,
see.
Maybe
I
do
think
that.
This
Kentucky.
Week, maybe we could see some.
Yeah, because if you just.
Because if they force Colin punts, Bolden's going to get. He's going to get a big one. On Saturday. I'm not saying he's going to get a touchdown, but he's going to get a big one.
Woo. I like the sound of that.
He's another – I think another thing I look at Kentucky is, like, Rose, he's due. Like, Bolden's due for to just go off and get a big touch, a 60, 70-yard touchdown. Yeah. Like, they're close. Defense is a lot of bend but don't break right now, but like I talk about, that pass rush is getting there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the run defense is in a good spot right now, and they're forcing turnovers, which is good to see. Back-to-back games force multiple turnovers. I think – did they force two against Toledo? I know Pascal had the fumble.
I think so.
So
– yeah, mean, yeah, yeah.
So they're getting there. The turnovers are getting there.
So that's happening middle of the day Saturday.
Pascal this week going to be big in run defense.
Yeah.
Because they're going to try to get Colin Hill going.
See, and this is another one. I mean, it's kind of similar to last year, but in a different – the strength of Kentucky's – defense is perfect for the only thing Mississippi State can do offensively.
Right now, at least, yeah.
And even if Tommy Stevens does come back and he is better than he was last week, that's still not exactly, you know, Superman.
Mississippi State's got big receivers. Tackling's going to be important when they get the ball, get them down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Saw Brandon Echols make an outstanding tackle last week.
Pretty awesome.
Jamari Brown, I think, has done a good job getting bodies to the ground. He's still getting a little bit lost in coverage and picked on at times.
Mm-hmm. And just zone. He's not communicating very well in
right,
zone.
Right.
Yeah. But it's going to be an exciting day. I expect Kentucky to take care of business, even though it probably will be one of those where they're looking great, and then Mississippi State does something weird, and then it gets kind of close, but they end up hanging
for
on.
For me, because Mississippi State's going to be a little desperate. You're going to be out of D linemen, maybe out two D linemen. Just don't get in a hole early. Don't turn it over.
Yes, take care of the
football. Right. I would love to see them defer, get a stop early, offense move the chains, you know, kind of just fill each other out.
But don't turn the ball over.
And then start playing your game.
Just don't.
After a couple possessions.
My heart can't handle all these turnovers.
Right. I mean, that's the thing was the Sawyer-Smith experiment, I've always thought it's going to be a roller coaster. Because at Troy, he had games like this where he was on top of the world, and then next week he only threw for 75 yards. we got the whole package
in one game.
So hopefully next week, this week he can bounce back and we get the good side of that.
Yes, yes. Let's get the good side of it.
Right.
And let's get to a couple of the games that are out there this week. We've got a little Friday night, Pac-12 after dark. Utah-USC.
Big one in the Pac-12 South.
That's a big one.
Utah's probably the Pac-12's last shot at making the playoff.
Yeah, but even so. Yeah.
We'll see.
They got to go to USC.
Sitting on that USC over 7. Got 2 down so far.
Ooh, and we got
last week kind of stunk. They blew it to BYU, but
we've got a big noon Saturday with Michigan and Wisconsin opening up. And Wisconsin looks like a wagon with their defense. And I don't know if Michigan can score 17 points in a football game.
No one scored on Wisconsin yet.
That's pretty incredible.
Right.
Wisconsin should, you just look at the teams so far, should roll.
Right.
But Michigan got a bye week, too. Maybe they got their crap together. You know?
Yeah.
Tennessee-Florida.
For me, it's all Kyle Trask. What does he look like?
Was that just an anomaly? Right. Or is he? Because if he's that good, I know some of it was the way Kentucky was playing. Why the hell was he not starting again? Felipe Franks, Kentucky wins that game if Felipe Franks is out there throwing garbage passes. Mm-hmm. Trask got it out of his hand quickly.
Yeah, that's my thing. What does he look like with the week to prepare, but not only that, with film on tape, now that Tennessee's got to look at him?
Yeah.
What does he look like? Tennessee gets their middle linebacker back. He was out for the first two games. Daniel Petulie. They finally got some confidence after a win. That's what I'm looking for in that game. What does Kyle Trask look like? But a lot of it with Florida, those receivers are really good.
Yeah, so they're just going to burn and turn up at Tennessee. And it's at Florida. Tennessee doesn't stand a chance. But what kind of line do we get on this? I'm
gonna 14, say, 14 and a half.
That's not that much. Especially for a bad Tennessee team. LSU, they're going to roll Vandy. That's going to be hilarious. They scored. I knew they were going to get to 60 last week. I'm curious if they can get to 50. They're definitely going to get to 40. I don't know if they'll get to 55 or though.
24. And it's not really a sandwich game for LSU because they got Utah State next week and then a bye after that before Florida comes to town. So it could get ugly for Vanderbilt again.
I'm interested in your thoughts on Auburn-Texas A&M because I think Texas A&M gets a really bad rep because Kellen Mond played like garbage against Clemson. But I know he's better than that. So I don't know.
We're going to find out.
Do we get Hero Ball Bo Nix? Or do we get – this is a game that is such a flip of the coin when it comes down to what quarterbacks are we going to see? What are we going to get a true freshman who's peeing down his leg at Kyle Field? That's unlike any place he'll ever play. Or and then Kellen Mond, was it just a bad road experience? He's going to come home and they're going to RPO him to death.
I think it's going to be a rock'em sock'em, ugly 17-13. Game. Whoever has the turnover in the fourth quarter, it's probably going to lose it. Both those defensive lines, I think, are going to have kind of field days against those offensive lines. I like Auburn because in this series, the road team almost always wins. And so you're getting 4, 3.5 with Auburn. And it's the Gus Malzahn off year. You know, he goes every other year. This is his year. So I think if you're asking me what's going to happen, I think it's going to be ugly as all get out. Auburn's going to look like crap for 50 minutes of that game. Suddenly in the last 9 minutes, they're going to turn it on. They're going to find a way to win the football game. And you're going to be like, how the hell did that happen? So I like Auburn there. I mean, A&M, they lost a lot off last year. I think they're like a year away from being a year away, from competing at that top level.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they need a couple more recruiting classes. Next year, they're going to look even better. And then the year after that, that's going to be their arrival. Year 4 under Jimbo. But right now, I would give Auburn the edge.
That's going to be a big one. That's going to be a doozy. It's happening. Kickoffs right before.
It's 3:30 CBS.
Yes, which
CBS doubleheader this week. We're going to play a game on here, Mr. Roush.
Yes.
It's going to be, did CBS pick the right game? Because it's the best. They're saying is the best game in the best conference.
Yep.
Last week was Alabama South Carolina, who we got screwed on that back door.
That was a terrible back. Muschamp, go to hell. Seriously, get the hell out of here, Muschamp.
But they're 0-1 because that game should have been at Kentucky, Florida.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Now this week they get
they got them both right this
they
week.
They got them both right this
because
week.
Because it was obvious.
They got the double dip.
Get Georgia, Notre Dame, you think? Come on.
So they're 2-1 right now, but we're going to follow this closely. We'll save it for next week, but they're about to go 2-2 the week after that because I've already seen what they picked on Monday. But we'll save that for next week.
We can do it this week.
Okay.
Okay. Or actually, no, let's save it because we'll talk about this.
Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Is Georgia, are they going to run for 200 or 400 rushing yards?
I would.
I mean, I saw a stat where
I want to say they'd be closer to 400 than 200, but that's getting over the 300 mark. Yeah, I don't know about that.
But
they'll be closer to 300 than 200. How about that?
Notre Dame's given up, what, like 250 rush? Like they've given up at least 200 rushing yards against just the worst teams you could ever imagine. Like, Georgia's going to have a field day.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame's going to get housed.
Yeah, like really badly. I don't know how that can be close, especially down there, like –
Well, they're treating this like the Super Bowl down there. Like,
yeah, Sanford Stadium.
Out the wazoo. So the hotel there in Athens this weekend is probably...
Oh, man, I'm sure it's crazy. Cost
you an arm and a leg.
But
everybody's talking about that game. The game I'm more excited for at night, Oklahoma State-Texas. That is going to be about as much Big 12 shootout as you can get. We just saw Texas and LSU have one. Oklahoma State has no defense, but they have three guys on offense that are outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Chuba Hubbard, remember the name, the running back.
He's the real deal. I think he's leading the country right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tylan Wallace is an awesome receiver, probably first-round pick. And then they've got a young kid named Spencer Sanders, dual-threat redshirt freshman that's going to be really good. And, of course, Gundy, he knows how to dial it up. So I think that game is going to be really exciting. And Gundy kind of has Texas's number. They haven't beat him in a while, so that's going to be interesting to see.
Well, I'm going to be excited. I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be partying at Bourbon and Beyond.
There you go. You excited?
Oh, yeah. It was one of those things where it kind of hit me quick.
Are you going just one day, or are you going multiple days?
Am I going just one day? Okay.
You know, I heard they had some people upset about the noise out there where they're having the concert.
They'll get the hell over it. And shout out to our contest.
Well, we said that about Top Golf too, but they still haven't got the hell over it.
They will. They'll be fine with it. But yeah, I'll be there all 3 days. I'm waiting until after the Cats play on Saturday, though. I'm not a big fan of their day lineup on Saturday either. Hall & Oates and Robert playing at night, though. So, the game will get over with. I'll be able to see those folks.
That'll work.
Yeah, it'll work.
Yeah, congrats to our winner.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. And congrats to the Cats because you're about ready to win your third game of the season. Suck it, Mississippi State.
I think so, too. I really like the chances.
Yeah. Suck it, Starkville. Get the hell out of here. You're the worst. But you know what? Our listeners, you're the best. We got a lot of reviews. Y'all were fine.
Y'all came through.
Great.
Wonderful
sportsmen. We appreciate you listening.
Met a lot of listeners at the tailgate.
Yeah, and if you want
to... It was nice to talk to all of y'all.
It's not going
to
be a home game until March.
Yeah, we got about a month for the next home game.
Sucks. Hey, but we're going on the road.
Hopefully we'll be in hoodie weather by then.
Already got the tickets booked for the 11-personnel road trip to Georgia. That's going to be a time. We might have to do
a live podcast.
An after dark, after a few cocktails.
11 personnel after dark.
Yeah, 11 personnel uncensored. This one's censored. This one was a good one. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch y'all next week. Go Cats.